Timothy chapter 4. We'll pick up reading with verse number 1. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse number 1.
Now the Spirit.
Hold it. He's rushing me already. I don't want to get in a hurry. I want to say a few more words regarding brother and sister King. Because to have people to come this distance, vacationing or whatever, and then to take out the time to worship God, to take out the time to work in the vineyard of God, I believe somebody ought to say something. Because I know many, many people, when you travel from Jamaica to the States, you get involved in so many things, and sometimes you don't get a chance to worship with the people of God. And so I just want to personally let them know how much I appreciate them being here with us this week. The Bible says, now
the Spirit speaketh
expressly
that in the latter times,
that in the latter times,
some shall depart from the faith. Giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils,
speaking lies in hypocrisy,
having their conscience seared
with a hot iron,
forbidding to marry,
and commanding to abstain from meats
which God has created
to be received with thanksgiving
of them which believe
and know the truth.
For every creature
now,
of God.
Now I want you to think about something as we go through this. We're going to be standing at the conclusion of this message. And when we stand, we will sing a song. That song, we call it an invitational song. An invitational song is simply being sung to motivate you as we invite you to come to Jesus. That Jesus will become the Lord of your life. And I tell people this. If Jesus cannot be Lord of all, he cannot be Lord at all. So when you come to Jesus, you come to give him your all. Because he wants to be Lord and Master in your life. Now look at verse number 1, because the subject will come. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly
that in the latter
time some shall depart from the faith,
giving heed to seducing spirits
and doctrines of devils. The question for the message tonight is, how does the Holy Spirit speak to men today? Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter time some shall depart from the faith. The question that is before us tonight is one that men have wrestled with and debated down through the centuries. For this thought-provoking and attention-getting question has caused many preachers and many would-be preachers to lose countless hours of sleep. Some have made the claim that the Holy Spirit has spoken to them in dreams, visions, and trances. Some have claimed that the Holy Spirit has spoken to them in a still, small voice. Others have made the claim that the Holy Spirit has spoken to them through psychic and palm readers. But I believe tonight that every claim that a person makes, they ought to be able to substantiate that claim from the Word of God. You remember in 1 John chapter 4 and verse number 1, John said, "Beloved, believe not every spirit,
but try
the spirits,
whether they are of God,
because many false prophets
are gone out into the world.
Now notice what John said in the text. He said, "Beloved," and that word, "beloved," actually comes from that word we call agape. This word is agapetos. John is saying, "Dearly beloved," as we would say it at a wedding. John is saying, "Beloved, those who love God, those who are concerned about their souls, believe not every spirit." In other words, every spirit does not come from God Almighty. So we have to be careful when it comes down to these spirits. He said, "Believe not every spirit." Why, John, should we not believe every spirit? John said, because I want you to get the reason why you should not believe every spirit. John said, because
many false prophets
are gone out into the world. Are you telling me I need to be concerned about false prophets? That's exactly what I'm telling you tonight. Every man who claims to be God's man is not God's man. Every man who claims to represent God does not represent God. Well, I read in Romans chapter 16 and verse 17. Paul said, "I mark them that call divisions. I beseech you therefore, brethren." Isn't that right? "Mark them which call divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them." But watch the next verse. "For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly." Now watch this. "And by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple." Now watch Paul. Paul said, "Now brethren, mark them which call divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. For they that are such," that's those that call division, "they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ." Well, Paul, if they're not serving the Lord, who are they serving? Paul said they are serving their own belly. "And by good words and fair speeches, they deceive the hearts of the simple." You have to be careful when it comes down to men preaching and teaching the Word of God. He said, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world." When he says try the spirits, he's telling us to test every spirit. He's telling us to prove every spirit. When a man says something, he needs to prove what he says. If a man makes a claim that God told him something, he needs to back it up. Am I correct about it? I remember one time I was studying with a woman who was a part of the Seventh-day Adventist persuasion. And don't you all look hard at me because I call names when I preach. But you know, I feel like this. If a person doesn't like the name they wear religiously, they ought to do something about it. So I don't mind when you preach calling the name of the Church of Christ, because I know I can get up any time at night and read it in my Bible. So you can call my name whenever you get ready. As I was studying with this woman, she invited me to her church services. She asked me, "Preacher, would you come to our services?" I said, "Yes, I will come. But I have a question that I need to ask." And she said, "What is it?" I said, "If I come to your services and I hear something that I don't agree with, is it all right for me to question what I heard?" And she said, "Sure, Pastor wouldn't mind." And you know what? I showed up. Isn't that good news? Well, I showed up. And when I got there, we were sitting in the audience. I had taken a couple of members with me because I wanted to be stated on record. You know, the Bible says, in the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. So I just wanted to establish what was going on. And you know, the pastor came out of the study and he stood up. He said, "Church, God has shown me how we can finance our new church building." He said, "God showed me that if every member gave $50 apiece," I'm not talking about husband and wife, $50 together. I'm saying $50 apiece, and all the children $25 apiece. Then we can finance this church building. And all of a sudden, my hand went up in the back. Oh, yes, it did. I said, "Pastor, based upon 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and verse 21, I said, the Bible says, prove all things, hold fast that which is good." I said, "Now, Pastor, I need you to do something for me. Since you said that God spoke to you and told you how to finance this church building, I want to know from you, based upon this text, can you prove to us that God told you how to tell these folk how they can finance this church building?" And that pastor looked at me like you were looking at me. He said, "Well, you knew we were Seventh-day Adventists before you came in here." That was his answer to my question. Well, I stopped by to let you know tonight, the next time any man says to you that God told me to tell you, you tell him you are a child of God too. And if God told him to tell you, God should have told me he was going to tell you to tell me. And if God didn't tell me he was going to tell you to tell me, then I don't want to hear what you're saying. I went to a meeting one night. There was a lady preaching under this meeting, in this meeting. And she got up and she said to the audience, she said, "The Lord told me." Now I want you to go to Acts chapter 9. And I'll pick up at verse number 5. She said, "The Lord told me to tell you all that you all ought to give me $1 for every time the children of Israel marched around the walls of Jericho." Well, if you know anything about Joshua chapter 6 and Joshua chapter 7, you will know that God told the children of Israel to march around the walls of Jericho one time for 6 days, and on the seventh day, seven times. Well, in Greenville, Mississippi, where I'm from, that was $13. Are you all paying attention? If we were going to give her $1 for every time the children of Israel marched around the walls of Jericho, they went 13 times. And she was telling us that God was telling her to tell us to give her $13. Well, you know my hand has a way of going up in meetings. I don't mean anybody any harm. I've been to too many meetings. I've heard too much false doctrine. I've heard too many false prophets who can't prove what they preach. And somebody needs to stand up on them. I'm going to challenge you tonight. If I preach something that's not correct, you ought to raise your hand and stand up on me tonight and show me the right way of the Lord. And you know it's strange when God is working with two people. I don't know how one person can get all the information without the other person getting any at all. Well, I'm going to show you from God's book that if God is working with two folks, God will inform both of them about each other. So the next time some preacher tells you that God told me to tell you, you tell him God didn't tell me. He was going to tell you to tell me. Well, let's see if I'm correct about it. Acts 9 and verse number 5. This is Saul of Tarsus. The Bible says,
and he said,
Who art thou, Lord?
And the Lord,
the Lord said,
I am Jesus
whom thou persecutest.
It is hard for thee to kick against the prick. And he trembling.
And astonished said,
Lord,
what wilt thou have me to do?
And the Lord said unto him,
Arise,
and go into the city,
and it shall be told thee
what thou must do.
Now, wait a minute. This man Saul, oh yes, he was kicking. He was persecuting the church of Christ, and the Lord had to deal with it. And when the Lord started dealing with him, the Lord told him it was hard for thee to kick against the pricks. This man was so astonished, trembling, fell down, asked the Lord, what will thou have me to do? Well, if you notice, the Lord is not going to tell him what to do, because the Lord is going to use a messenger to communicate and tell him what to do. He said, now you arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. Now watch this. He's going to go into the city. Am I correct about it? Well, what I need you to see is this. When he goes into the city, the Lord is going to, thank you, brother, the Lord is going to do something, because Saul is going into the city. But drop down to verse number 10, because somebody else is going to come into the picture. The Bible says,
and there was a certain
disciple
at Damascus
named Ananias. Are you all getting this? Now watch what the book says.
And to him said the Lord, in a vision, Ananias. And he said,
Behold,
here am I, Lord. And the Lord said unto him,
Arise,
and go into the street.
Into the streets,
which is called straight,
and inquire in the house of Judas,
for one Saul.
Called Saul
of Tarsus.
For behold,
he prayeth.
Now watch this. Wait a minute. I'll pick up in a moment. Now the Lord said to this servant, Ananias, the Lord appeared to him in a vision. Now when the Lord appeared to Saul, Saul was there. And the Lord talked to Saul. And he told Saul, I want you to go into the city. And then he picked up with a disciple named Ananias. Showed Ananias in a vision a man named Saul. Isn't that right? He said, now he's down there praying. Now keep in mind, the Lord didn't tell him to go down there and pray. He was praying on his own because the Lord told him to go into the city and it shall be told thee what thou must do. So did the Lord tell him to go pray? The Lord didn't tell him to go pray. The Lord told him it would be told thee what thou must do. Well, this man Ananias is the messenger that's going to tell him what to do. Now watch the book. The book says,
and had seen,
in a vision,
a man named Ananias.
Now wait a minute. Saul praying. What did Saul see in his vision? He saw a man named Ananias. Now watch this. Ananias knew Saul was there. And now Saul knows Ananias is coming. Now what is God doing? God is dealing with two folk. In other words, Saul is down there praying, seeing Ananias. Ananias knows where Saul is. And you know God is dealing with both of them. And when Ananias get down there, guess what Saul is going to do? Saul is going to take heed to what Ananias said. Because Saul knew that the Lord was talking to Ananias just like the Lord had talked to him. Now, what does that mean in all of this? It means that God is talking to two people and both of them are in form of the other. So if your pastor tells you that God told him to tell you, you tell your pastor, God should have told me he was going to tell you to tell me. And if God didn't tell me, I'm not listening to you. Oh, I know this is cutting, but the word of God is like that. We read Hebrews chapter 4 and 12, for the word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. I know this word is piercing and it's cutting. It will cut sin out of your life. It will cut false doctrine out of your life. Am I correct about it? So God dealt with both of them. I don't need to read anymore. Did you get the picture? And if you didn't get it, question it, and I'll finish the rest of it. Isn't that all right? You know, if I read all the verses, I may keep you here too long. But I need you to see, every time these folk get up and talk about the Lord told me, honey, I'm going to show you how the Lord talks to folk tonight. I'm going to show you that everybody has access to the same message from God. Oh, I'm going to show you tonight that everybody has the same truth. Oh, yeah. I need to show you how the Holy Spirit spoke to men in time past. I'm going to work with that. But then I'm going to show you how the Holy Spirit speaks to men today. You see, the question is not, has the Holy Spirit spoken? The question is not, has he spoken? The question is, how does he speak to men today? The question is not even, does he speak? We know he speaks. The question is, how does he speak? I need to know how the Lord speaks to men today. I know he speaks. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 1. Let's take a look at verses 1 and 2 because we know the Bible is right. I told you on last night that every Bible question demands and deserves a Bible answer. I told you last night, but sanctify the Lord God in your heart and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you a reason of the hope which is in you with meekness and fear. 1 Peter 3:15. I showed you last night that when a question comes to the floor, God demands that we give a Bible answer. Isn't that right? Well, let's see. Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 1. The Bible says,
God
who at sundry, that's various times, and in divers manners, spake
in time past
unto the fathers
by the prophets.
Now, wait a minute. In time past. Can you all deal with this? I know about right now, but I'm not talking about right now. I'm not talking about how he speaks right now from this verse. I'm talking about how he spoke in time past. I need to show you how he spoke in time past. And then I'll show you how he speaks today. But in time past, God used various means and ways of speaking unto men. Now, I can't deal with all of them, but I will put some of them on the floor. You see, when God spoke to Adam back in Genesis chapter 3, God spoke audibly with his voice. God spoke to Adam with his voice. That's an audible speaking. Well, God spoke to Abraham by angel in Genesis chapter 22. Well, God spoke to Jacob in dreams. Am I correct about it? Genesis 28. God spoke to Daniel in visions. Daniel 7 and verse 15. God spoke to the priests through Urim and Thummim. Y'all ever heard of that? Well, I just thought I'd tell you back in the book of Numbers chapter 28 and Exodus chapter 28. God has spoken in various ways. Back then, one time God spoke to Moses through a burning bush. One time God, you know that's in Exodus chapter 3. Don't make me give every verse in the Bible. You know one time God spoke to Balaam through a donkey. Numbers chapter 22 through 26. In other words, God spoke to men in various ways at various times, but it was all in time past. Isn't that right? So we can do a number of things about how God spoke in time past. But most folk are worried about how is he speaking today. We know how he spoke in time past. As a matter of fact, the Bible said God, who has sundry times and in divers manner, spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophet. God used the prophets. Oh, I wish I had time tonight. I would talk to you about, number one, God's causality. Number two, prophetic agency. And number three, normative writings. In other words, God causality. That simply means that revelation started with God. God is the cause of this Bible. In Psalm 68 and verse 11, the book said, the Lord gave the word, and great was the company of those that published it. In other words, God is the prime mover in inspiration. There are three words: revelation, inspiration, and illumination. Revelation is what God said. Inspiration is how God gave what he said. And illumination is our understanding of what he said. So what I want to do tonight, I want to show you that God is behind his word. Christ is behind his word. And the Holy Spirit is behind his word. So whatever we have here today, it was caused by God. Now, what did God do? God used the prophets to speak. Isn't that right? Well, I need to tell you, that's what I mean by prophetic agency. God used men. God inspired men. Long before God put inspiration in a book, God put inspiration in men. Did you hear what I just said? Long before God put inspiration in a book, he put inspiration in men. I'll be back to Hebrews 1 if I don't forget. So let's go to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse number 20. And then I'll be back to verse 19 later. But right now I need to drop this on you. Isn't that all right? Now I need to show you. The Bible says in 2 Peter chapter 1, Verse number 20. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy
men of God
spake
as
they were moved
by the Holy Ghost.
By the Holy Ghost, how did they speak? They spoke as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. In other words, God put the inspiration in the men. He moved the men and they spoke. That was before God put it in a book. Did you hear what I just said? If you want to know about inspiration now, you run over to 2 Timothy chapter 3, beginning with verse 15. Paul said to the young man Timothy, "And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus." All scripture is given by inspiration of God. Now notice what he said right here. He said all what? All scripture. Now if you want to know what the inspiration of God is, where do you go? You go to the scripture. But before God had the scriptures written, inspiration was where? In men. The Holy Spirit moved men. Before the Bible was completed, God was speaking to men and through men. I'm going to prove it. I'm going to show you that God in time past spoke to men and spoke through men. Through inspiration. Guided them through the Holy Spirit. Guided them by the Holy Spirit. That's why when they preached, they didn't make errors like people make today. Isn't that amazing? Now notice something. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past
unto the fathers
by the prophets, hath
in these last days.
Lord have mercy. Now we're getting away from time past. Isn't that right?
Yeah.
Now he spoke in time past, but I'm not worried about in time past anymore. Because he said, hath
in
these
last days
spoken
unto us
by his son. Now somebody needs to get this. You need to get this, because when God started speaking in time past, God was working on something. God was speaking in time past. And you know God in time past was working on something, trying to get somebody into this world to save us from our sins. So when I look at a verse like Genesis 3:15, that I would put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed, it shall bruise thy head, thou shalt bruise his heel. Honey, that's a prophecy. Are you all getting this? That's a prophecy concerning the coming of Jesus Christ. When he comes, he's going to bruise the head of the serpent, and the serpent is going to bruise his heel. Now watch the significance of this prophecy. The serpent is going to bruise his heel, but he's going to bruise the serpent's head. Now when a person gets a heel bruised, the only thing a bruised heel will do is slow you down or stop you from walking. That's all a bruised heel can do. It slow you down and stop you from walking. But now when a person gets a bruised head, his whole life is changed. Knocked out. Power gone. Jesus is going to come and bruise the serpent's head. He's going to rob the grave of victory and take the sting out of death and declare, all power is given unto me. He's coming to destroy the works of the devil. You have to get this. So for 3 days, Satan slowed up Jesus. For 3 days, Satan stopped him from walking on this earth because of a what? A bruise here, but on Sunday morning. Somebody ought to say, thank God for Sunday morning. As a matter of fact, I have a sermon entitled, Something About Sunday Morning. Oh yeah, Sunday morning, Jesus got up! Gave the devil a blow that he'll never recover from. He robbed him of all of his power. Isn't that right, church? This prophecy says he's coming, but he's going to be born of a woman. Galatians 4:4. The Bible said, but when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law. Isn't that right? I'm telling you, when the time was right. People running around here now talking about when is he coming? When is he coming? Let me tell you something. It took him nearly 4,000 years to come the first time. He hadn't been gone but about 2 now. Well, if it took him nearly 4,000 years to come the first time, why can't we wait 4,000 years for him to come the second time? Now, don't you run out of here saying Brother Holt said he'll be back in 4,000 years. I didn't say that. I said they waited on him that long the first time. Why can't we wait on him the second time? But I'll tell you what, he's coming. We don't know when, but we know he's coming. So I'm saying tonight that Jesus Christ is coming. Now notice, God, who has sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophet, hath in these last days spoken
unto us by his son.
By his son. Do I have time to work on the last days? You see, a lot of people think the last day of 2009, honey, the last days started on Pentecost. That's right. That's right. We've been in the last days ever since the Church of Christ was established. Go to the book of Acts chapter 2, verse number 16. The Bible is right. And then you go to 1 John 2 and verse 18. I said the Bible is right. And I don't want you all thinking I'm under this tent making up stuff. Honey, what I'm saying, you can read it for yourself. Watch the book of Acts chapter 2, verse number 16.
But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And
it shall come to pass in the last day. Now wait a minute. Go up to verse number 1. The Bible said, and when
the day of Pentecost was fully come.
Wait a minute. What day was it? It was the day of Pentecost. Now, I'm not going all the way back to Leviticus and prove to you chapter 23, verses 14 through 16, that Pentecost was the first day of the week. 7 Sabbath, 7 times 7, that's 49 plus 1, that's 50. Penta means 50 day. But if you pull on it, I'll go prove it. That's why I'm here, to prove what I preach. Did you catch it? Make no mistake about it. It was what day? Pentecost day. When Peter stood up with the 11 apostles, he said, it is the last days. Isn't that right? You see, these modern day so-called prophets talking about the last days now. Honey, we've been in the last days since Jesus built the Church of Christ on the day of Pentecost. Read it again. Don't make these people think we're just saying something. Read it.
And it shall come to pass.
It shall come to pass.
In the last day.
Saith God.
I will pour out my spirit. Upon all flesh. And your son.
Wait a minute. I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Now I want you to get this. Let the truck go on by. It's gone. I want you to get this. See, the devil will use any distraction he can, man, to get you off of this. So we can wait. Isn't that all right? Yes, we can. Now I want you to get there. He said, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh.
And your sons,
your sons and your daughters shall prophesy.
And
your young men shall see visions.
And your old men shall dream dreams.
Now wait a minute. Right here, I'll tell you what I'll do. Before I complete this meeting, I'm going to show you what God meant when he said, I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Because when a lot of folks see that, the first thing they jump up and holler is that I see right there that women can preach in the church. They can pastor in the church because he said, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Let me tell you something. You all don't mind me breaking my sermon and working with this, do you? Well, I have to do this every now and then. I told you the other night that I preach like my wife Shams. She puts stuff in the basket, not on the list. So I'm dealing with something not on the list. The first thing you need to know about this word prophecy. The first thing you need to know. Prophecy always deals with teaching. Now did you get that? It always deals with teaching. But the problem most folk have, they don't know what prophecy is. So what I need to do right now, I need to show you what it is. And if I can show you what it is, I believe you can see what I need you to see. Now watch this. First of all, there are three kinds of prophecy. There is retrospective prophecy. Now, retrospective, don't worry about the big word. Retro just simply means back. Spective means see. So what God does in retrospective prophecy, he causes the prophet to look back and see. See how simple this is? Oh, it's simple, man, if you work with it. Now, was Moses there in Genesis 2:7? The Lord said, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostril the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Well, Moses was not back there. So how did Moses know what God did? Through retrospective prophecy, God caused Moses to look back and to see. Did you catch it? So Moses wasn't there. You remember 2 Peter chapter 1 I just showed you. Holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Well, God through the Holy Ghost moved Moses to write what he had seen through inspiration. He wasn't there. How he know it happened? Are y'all with me? You can't get off the line. You have to stay on the line. You've been on the phone before. You get drop calls all the time, don't you? Well, I don't need you to drop this call, honey. Stay on the line. Somebody said, I'm glad my line dropped. That's retrospective prophecy. Well, there's another kind of prophecy that's called predictive prophecy. Some folk call it futuristic prophecy. Predictive prophecy is a prophecy that God gives to the prophet to predict the future. Did you get it? I said it's a prophecy that God gives to the prophet to predict the future. Go to Isaiah 7 and verse 14. Let me give you an illustration of it. I've done it once in Genesis 3:15, but I want to show you this one. Isaiah chapter number 7 and verse 14. The Bible said, Behold, thus saith the Lord, I will give you a what? A sign. A virgin shall conceive
and bear a son.
Bear a son.
And shall call his name.
That shall call his name.
Emmanuel.
Emmanuel, and I start at the beginning. What does it say?
Therefore, the Lord
Therefore,
himself,
the Lord himself
shall, give you a sign.
Shall give you a sign. Now watch this. What is the Lord going to do? He's going to give you a sign. What's the sign?
Behold, a virgin
shall conceive. In other words, virgins just don't get pregnant. Did you catch that? Virgins just don't have babies. But the Lord is going to give them a sign. The sign is the virgin that's going to conceive and bear son and call his name
Emmanuel. Emmanuel.
Isn't that right? Well, that's a prediction. And it came to pass. It happened in Matthew chapter 1. Verses 21 through 26, or 21 through 23. The Bible said, and she shall bring forth a son, thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sin. Thus saith the prophet Isaiah, behold, now watch this. A virgin shall conceive and bear a son, thou shalt call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted God
with us.
With us. So that was a prediction that came true. Now watch this. The last kind of prophecy is what we call instructive prophecy. Now, what is instructive prophecy? Instructive prophecy is a prophecy that the prophets teaches in his own lifetime. He prophesies to the people of his day. He instructs them on what God wants them to do. It's not retrospective. It's not predictive. It's instructive. That means, go to Ezekiel 37. Let me show it to you. Ezekiel 37. I'm going to give you instructive prophecy. Ezekiel 37. Now watch verse number 1. You need to catch this. Because the Bible is right. Listen. Y'all, you there?
Yeah.
The Bible said,
the hand of the Lord.
The hand of the Lord
was upon me.
Was upon me.
And carried me over
carried
the Spirit of the Lord.
Into the Spirit of the Lord. Now wait a minute. Ezekiel is carried out where? In the Spirit of the Lord. That tells me Ezekiel is under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Isaiah was under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Moses was under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Ezekiel is under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. What does the Bible say?
Carry me out in the Spirit
carry
of the Lord.
Carry me out in the Spirit of the Lord.
And set me down
set
in the midst
me
of the valley.
In the midst of a valley.
Which was full of bones.
Which was full of bones.
And caused me to pass
caused
by them.
Me
round
what?
About. To pass by them. Round
pass
about.
By them.
Round about.
Round about.
And behold, there were many
there
in the open
many
valley.
In the open valley.
And lo, they were very dry.
They were very dry.
And he said unto me.
Watch what he said to me.
Son of man.
Son of man.
Can these bones
can
live?
Can these bones live?
And I answered.
I answered.
O Lord,
O
God,
Lord,
thou knowest.
Thou knowest.
Again he said
unto me.
Prophesy upon
prophesy.
These bones.
Prophesy. O Lord, have mercy. Stop right there. Prophesy. Under these bones. Now who is Ezekiel getting ready to talk to? He's getting ready to talk to the nation of Israel. God said they were dry bone. These were folk in his day and time. And when he starts preaching to these dry bone, he starts teaching these dry bone, some rattling going to start taking place and bones are going to start coming together and the people of God are going to come back alive. Now this instructive prophecy served the people in their lifetime. Now notice, when God said, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. I raise the question, what kind of prophesying are the daughters going to do? Are they going to do predictive, retrospective, or instructive? I know it's not retrospective. We have all that we need. I know it's not predictive. We don't need any more promises. So it must be instructive. They are going to be teachers. Amen. Amen. But I'm not finished. Now the question is, over whom?
That's right.
You see, God's word is right. I can tell you right now, I've baptized 3 women preachers. I said I baptized 3 women preachers. And you know why I baptized 3 women preachers? It's because they were honest and they allowed me to teach them the word of God. As a matter of fact, not long ago, I have this little book called The Great Battle of Men and Women for the Pulpit. I went down to my hometown in Greenville, Mississippi. I have a cousin down there who was supposed to be a black Muslim. And on what we call Thanksgiving Day, I baptized him into Christ. I'm talking about this guy who's supposed to be a black Muslim. I baptized him into Christ. And after I baptized him, he started reading my book, The Great Battle of Men and Women for the Pulpit. And man, when he saw it, he knew a woman that was about to get ordained as a Baptist evangelist, a Baptist minister in the Baptist church. He let her read the book. This woman went to her people and said, let's stop the ordination. I've just learned that women cannot. Oh, y'all don't want to talk. See, the word of God is right. Go to 1 Timothy chapter 2, 11 and 12. I'll be finished when I get finished. I know we need to see how God speaks. We're going to work with it. We have time. Any cricket playing tonight? What you all like over here? What's going on around here? The best party in town is under this tent. And it's not spirits. It's the spirit. Yeah, my young man that I met here 4 years ago, Brother Colin Reed, was going to the Jamaica School of Preaching, came over to the States, and man, listen, he was relating to me a story that he had on campus at Southwestern Christian College. There were some young ladies who wanted to take him out on the town, and they said to him, we're going to go get some spirits. And he didn't really know what they were talking about. He was thinking they were inviting him to church where the Holy Spirit was. They were telling him, we're going to drink. That's just like when I come over here, when I first greet you all, you say to me, good night. Well, in the state, when you say good night, that means we're going home. But when you say good night, we're just greeting. Isn't that right, Kings? I got to get a witness there, two or three witnesses. I need some witnesses. So we have to work this thing out. Are you in 1 Timothy chapter number 2 and verse number 11?
Yes.
The Bible says,
Let the woman
learn in silence
with all subjection.
For I suffer not
a woman
to teach,
nor to usurp authority
over the man,
but to be in silence.
The Bible says she's not to teach, nor usurp, dominate over a man. That tells me she cannot be a pastor. I'll work on some of this later on. I just need to drop that. Oh, yes, the Bible is right. We just need to work on it. Where can they instruct? Yes, they can, but I need to give you this. Go to Acts chapter 21. Acts 21, verses 8 and 9. Let me tell you, good people, something while we're going there. What you have to understand is this. On Pentecost Day, no old men dream dreams. On Pentecost Day, no young men saw visions. On Pentecost Day, no women prophesied it. On Pentecost Day, the Bible said, but Peter standing up with the 11. Only the apostle spoke on Pentecost Day. Now, I'm not saying women didn't speak later, but they didn't speak that day. I'm going to show you that they spoke. Because the prophecy said that he will pour out his spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. But I want to know what kind of prophesying or teaching will your daughters do? I know they did it, but what kind was it? Are you all getting it? Look at Acts 21 and 8.
And the next day, we that were of Paul's company
departed
and came unto Caesarea, and we entered
the house of Philip,
the evangelist.
Oh, wait a minute, who was Philip?
Which was
holy? Who was Philip?
The evangelist.
He was the evangelist. Now watch this. Hold it. Philip, what are you doing down there? I'm the preacher. Philip, what are you doing down there? I'm evangelizing. Philip, what are you doing down there? I'm teaching the people. Philip, what are you doing down there? I'm doing what God ordained me to do. I'm leading this church. Did you catch it? I didn't mean to stumble. I'm leading this church. I'm over this church. I'm the evangelist at this church. Make no mistake about it. Philip was there. Now who's going to argue the fact that he was there? What was he called when he was there?
Evangelist.
He was called the evangelist. Now that tells me that Philip did the preaching down at Caesarea.
That's right.
Now let's see what he had. Of course he was one of the seven. What does that mean? That means back in Acts chapter 6, the apostles laid hands on him and appointed him over the business of serving tables. But that same Philip, in Acts 8 and 5, then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. That same Philip went down and taught an Ethiopian eunuch. Isn't that right? That same Philip is now down in Caesarea. What does he have down there? Read the book in verse 9.
And the same man.
The same man.
Had four daughters.
Had four daughters.
Virgins.
Virgins.
Which did.
Which did.
Prophesy.
Prophesy. Now wait a minute. Question number one. Who's the preacher at Philip? Who's the preacher at Caesarea?
Philip
is the preacher. Yeah. Is Philip a man or a woman? He's a man. What did Paul say about women teaching and usurping authority over the man? Come on now, stay with me. I suffer not a woman to teach, nor usurp authority over the man. Here Philip had four daughters, and what did they do?
Which did prophesy.
They prophesied. Prophesying is teaching. What did they do?
Prophesy.
They prophesied. Did they prophesy to Philip? Did they prophesy over Philip? Did they prophesy through Philip? How did they do it? Did they do retrospective, predictive, or instructive? They did instructive, but they didn't instruct Philip. They didn't instruct Philip. Why didn't they instruct Philip? I suffer not a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over the man. Well, go to Titus 2 and let's see who they told then. They had to teach somebody. Are you all paying attention? I said they had to teach somebody. The Bible said they should prophesy. That means they should teach. In Titus chapter 2, start at verse number 1.
But speak thou the things which becomes sound doctrine.
Read.
That the aged men be sober.
Read.
Grave.
Read.
Temperate.
Read.
Sound in faith.
Read.
And charity in patience.
I'm getting to the aged
the
women.
Aged
come on.
Women likewise.
Yeah, read.
They be in behavior.
In behavior.
As becometh holiness.
As becometh holiness.
Not false accusers.
Not false accusers.
Not given to much
not
wine.
Not given to much wine.
Teachers.
Wait a minute. Wait a minute. They ought to be what?
Teachers.
Teachers.
Of good things.
Holy. The church of Christ is not against women teaching.
people have put some stuff out on us that's just not true. We believe women teach. We believe that women prophesy. We believe that women do it. But it's instructive prophesying. It's instructive teaching. Who is it that they should teach?
That they may teach the young women.
What the book says. Teach the young women.
To be sober.
To be sober.
To love their husband.
Love their husband.
To love their children.
Love their children.
To be discreet.
To be discreet.
Chase.
Change. Let me tell you, good people, something. Teachers of what?
Keep us at home.
Keep us at home.
Good.
Oh, that's enough. Listen, women, if you do that, I guarantee you, you wouldn't be trying to usurp authority over Brother Mitchell. You have enough right there. You want to usurp authority and can't even keep the house. I'm not being mean-spirited. God told you who to teach. He told you what kind of teaching. But they want something different. We had a lady came to our church when I preached in Flint, Michigan. She came to our church. She was from California, Richmond, California. And I stood up and preached that morning. Members were coming down the aisle and people were coming down the aisles. I didn't know this lady from anybody else. And all of a sudden, as they were passing the microphone down, brothers and sisters, I have sinned. I have repented of my sins and I asked the church to pray for me. Man, they were passing the microphone down the line. And this lady got the microphone. She said, my name is Evangelist Gracie. And Pastor, I've come here to pray for you and your ministry. And that's what she told me. And you know, all the members in the church looking at me like, now what is he going to do with that? Now what is he going to do with that? And I politely looked at her. I said, Mrs. Evangelist Gracie, I appreciate you being here. I said, but let me ask you a question. You see all of these people standing down here? I said, who preached the message to bring them down here? She said, you did, Pastor. I said, are you telling me that these people responded to the message that I preached? She said, yes, sir. I said, well, logically thinking, if these people responded to the message that I preached, who do you think ought to pray over them? She looked at me and she said, well, seems like to me you ought to do it. Now that's good sense, isn't it? After all, I did the preaching. And she gave way. Gave me the microphone and I prayed over her. They brought her to my house that Thursday. We sat down, we studied the scriptures, we went over the scriptures like I'm going over the scriptures with you right now. This lady jumped up and said, where are the baptismal garments? You know what that means, don't you? She learned enough. She ready to be baptized. From that day to this day, as a matter of fact, she called me last week. From that day to this day, she's still a member of the Church of Christ. She gave it up. Isn't God wonderful? Now God has spoken in time past unto the Father by the prophet, but has in these last days spoken unto us by His Son. Now I need to know, if He's spoken to us by His Son, how does His Son speak? Now who is He speaking to us by in the last day? By His Son. The question here, if He's speaking to us by His Son, how does His Son speak? Y'all want to know? Now we didn't make that up, did we? Go back to Hebrew 1. We very well read it again. Somebody think we're not reading it right.
God.
Who at sundry times.
And in divers manners.
Spake in time past.
Unto the Father. By the prophets.
In these last days.
Spoken unto us. By His Son.
Now if God is speaking to us by His Son. Go over to Matthew 7, 17 and verse number 5. I won't read it all. Time is getting away and I need to close. But I tell you what I'll do. Tomorrow night, I'll do part 2. You know, you can't really. And I tell people like this. I don't really finish a sermon. I just cut them off. I don't finish them. I just cut them off. So tomorrow night, I pick up. Isn't that right? But let's establish some things tonight. Because tomorrow night, we're going to finish this message. But we're going to do enough for it with it tonight that if you want to obey Jesus, you can come to him. And learn the rest of it tomorrow night. Are you with me? Now notice Matthew chapter 17 and verse number 5. 17. Matthew 17 and verse 5.
While he yet spake.
Behold, a bright cloud
overshadowed them.
And behold, a voice
out of the cloud which said, This is my beloved son. In whom I am well pleased.
Hear ye him. Now, who does God want us to hear? Hear ye him. Hear my beloved son. I'm well pleased with him. And you need to hear him. Why hear him? He is God's spokesman today. Hear him. Now let's find out what he said. If you want to know how God speaks to men today, you need to hear what Jesus said. You catch it? Let's go to John 16, verse 13. Let's hear what he said. We know he's God's spokesman. So let's hear what he said. I don't have time to develop all I want to develop. But let me tell you this while I'm getting to John chapter 16. And verse number 13, Jesus chose 12 men, and he called them or named them apostles. That's in Matthew 10, 1 through 5. He named them apostles. Now Jesus is training these 12 men. So when he leaves the world, he's going to leave them with something. And when they have that what he left them with, they are going to do with that which he left them with, what he told them to do with it. And we're going to find out what he left them with. And when we find out what he left them with, and we're going to see what they did with it when he left them with it. Isn't that all right? Now watch the book. The Bible said, how be it?
When the Spirit of truth is come. He will guide you into all truth. He shall not speak of himself.
But whatsoever he shall hear. He shall hear.
That shall he speak. And will show you things to come.
Now notice what Jesus told the apostles. How be it when he, the Spirit of truth, is come. The Spirit of truth is the Holy Spirit. When he comes, he is going to guide the apostle into how much truth. Now watch this. If he is going to guide the apostle into all truth, my question here, what is he telling you? If he's going to guide them into all truth, how much truth is left out? If they are guided into all truth, honey, there isn't any truth left out. Now my question is, why would God have to talk to you when he already talked to Jesus, and Jesus talked to the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit talked to the apostles and gave them all the truth? What does he have to tell you? Now something must be missing if he's talking to you. I don't believe the Holy Spirit left anything out. So if the Holy Spirit told you anything, he told you what he told them, because what he told them was all the truth.
Now, it doesn't make sense for him to tell you what he's already told them, and they put it in the book. Now, what does he need to tell you? Be still and see the salvation of the Lord. No, he's already said it. I need to know, what does he need to tell you? I read 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue. Whatever it is you need to know for godliness, he's already given it. Now what does he need to come tell you? Don't go over to that woman's house. He's already said it. Don't go get drunk on wine. He's already said it. What does he need to tell you? Well, you know, I was sitting home one night and all of a sudden something came into my bedroom. And behold, a still small voice spoke to me. You better check the spirit. Beloved, believe not every spirit. God's spirit speaks to us through God's book. I want to work on this some more, but I know my time is getting away from me. But I have to do part two. Because I need you to see something. Whatever it is you need for life, he's already given it. Whatever it is you need for salvation, he's already given it. Whatever it is you need, he's already given it. Oh, it wasn't long ago, just a few weeks ago, I caught a plane headed down. I was going to Jackson, Mississippi, from Detroit, Michigan. And you know, they routed my plane from Jackson, Michigan, Detroit, Michigan, to Charlotte, North Carolina. And you know, about 3:30 in the afternoon, my daughter called me on the telephone. And I'm wondering, why is my daughter calling me this time of day? She's supposed to be at work. And why is she calling me? Well, what I did not know is this. You all have been hearing about the plane that left the... That's the one. Left LaGuardia and headed down to Charlotte, North Carolina, and had to land in the Hudson. Well, my daughter called me. My wife wouldn't call. She put my daughter up to do it. So they're trying to find out, was I on that one? Are y'all paying attention? Well, you see, I wasn't on that one because the Lord wanted me on this one to get here. Now, what are you trying to tell her? I thought you just said God doesn't speak to men today. He doesn't, but the providence of God works. You see, God has his providential hand over his people. And God stirs things to make things happen for him. If I had been on that plane, I'd probably been too scared to get on another one to come over here. You mean to tell me you're a preacher and you'll be scared? Let me tell you what I told the young lady that picked me up the other night to bring me to this tent. I told her, I said, listen, it took me a long time to get on a plane to go across the waters. Because when I first started preaching full time, I preached in Tennessee. And there was a couple had just gotten married. And they got on a plane and they went to Beirut. And man, they hijacked that plane going to Beirut. And that put something in me. This is 1980. I got in the church in 1978. That put something in me. I said right then, it was enough sinners in America for me to preach to the sinners in America. I don't have to go across the water to preach to sinners. It's enough of them over here. Y'all laughing, but I'm serious. Man, guys would call me, well, will you come to the Philippine Island? No, sir. One guy said, well, man, will you come with me over to Liberia? No, sir. It wasn't until I talked to Brother Mitchell. Are y'all listening? The last time I was here, that's the first time I really made up my mind to get on a plane and go over some water. And I wasn't coming then. I wasn't coming. But the elders at the church, they kept on talking to me. Man, you ought to go. You ought to go. And I'm saying, I don't want to go. It's enough sinners over here. And finally, man, I made up my mind. I'm going. And you know, I've been going ever since. Been to St. Thomas 3 times, Trinidad, going back to Trinidad in June. Lord, I'm going over to Freeport, Bahamas at the lectureship in July of this year. I'm going over to Nassau, Bahamas the 1st of March. Man, listen, now the Lord... I really understand 2 Timothy 1:7 now. For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. But I wasn't getting on that plane. They hijacking too many. Isn't that all right? So God's providence does work. God provides and takes care of His people. But God does not speak directly to people. He doesn't speak directly through people. God speaks indirectly to people. God uses the medium of His word to speak to His people. And I'll do more of that on tomorrow night. But let me tell you this before I close. Isn't it amazing how all of these preachers talking about God is speaking to them? But we'll go over to Matthew 16 and verse 18. Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I the Son of Man am? Some said, thou art John the Baptist. Some Elias. Others Jeremiah. And one of the prophets. But he said unto them, but whom say ye
that I am?
And Simon Peter answered and said,
thou art the
Christ,
the Son of the living God.
And
Jesus
answered and said unto him,
blessed
art thou,
Simon
Bar-Jonah,
for flesh and blood has not revealed it unto thee,
but my Father, which is in heaven.
And I say also unto thee,
that thou art Peter,
and upon this rock
I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail
against it.
Now all of these people talking about God is speaking to them, but they can't seem to figure out what it means when he says, upon this rock I will build my church. Well, it seemed to me, if God is doing all of this speaking to all of these people, he ought to explain to them what my church means, because they don't seem to get what my church means. Well, I'm going to show you what my church means. Somebody needs to see that Jesus didn't build but one church. He said the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Well, let's see what my church means. Jesus said, upon this rock I will build my church. Well, let's pause for just a moment. Go to Matthew 26, verse 26. Matthew 26, verse 26. I'm going to explain what the Bible means when it says my church. Since you believe that God is speaking to you separate and apart from the Bible, let me see how you see what the Bible says, because I believe what the Bible says is correct. It is right. It is sure. And it is steadfast. The Bible says, as they were eating,
Jesus
took bread
and blessed it
and broke it
and gave it to the
disciples, saying,
take
eat.
This is my body.
My body.
which is broken for you. Now watch this. This is my body. Watch verse 28. The Bible said,
For this is my blood.
Is my blood
of the New Testament,
which is shed for the remission of sin. Now wait a minute. What did Jesus give them? He said, took the bread and said, my body. Took the blood and said, my blood. I need to see whose blood is this. And I need to see whose body is this. Because I know he said, my church. Well, the same Christ that said my church is the same Christ that said my body. The same Christ that said my church is the same Christ that said my blood. Well, now let's see. What does my body mean? What does my blood mean? Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 16. The Bible said,
The cup of blessings
which we bless
is it not the communion
of the blood of
Christ?
Read the book.
The bread which we break.
Is it not the communion
of the body of Christ?
Wait a minute. Wait one Mississippi cotton picking minute. You need to see my body. You need to see my blood. When Paul picked his pen up and started telling the Corinthian church about some blood, he called it the blood of Christ.
Right.
When Paul picked his pen up and started talking about the body, he called it the body of Christ. When Jesus took the bread, he broke the bread and said, this is my body. Well, what does that mean? That means body of Christ. Well, Jesus took the cup and said, this is my blood. What does that mean? That means blood of Christ. Now, somebody needs to tell me if body of Christ means, if my body means body of Christ and my blood means blood of Christ, then my church ought to mean church of Christ. Am I correct about it? Well, if you can see that, you ought to see this. Jesus said, upon this rock, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. He didn't build but one church. Now, what did the Holy Spirit say about that one church? Well, I read it in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13. For by one body are we all baptized. For by one Spirit are we all baptized.
Into one body.
Well, the Spirit is speaking. What does the Spirit say? The Spirit says we are baptized into one body. Isn't it amazing that these same folk who claim the Holy Spirit is teaching and talking to them can't see that the Holy Spirit said in the Bible we are baptized into one body? Why can't they accept what the Spirit said in the Word of God? In the Word of God, the Holy Spirit said, for by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. That one body is the one church. That my church is the church of Christ. That my body is the body of Christ. That my blood is the blood of Christ. That my church is the church of Christ. The Holy Spirit said we are all baptized into one body. Now why can't they accept that? Seems like to me, if the Holy Spirit is saying anything to you, you ought to be able to read it. I just read what he said. Now, how do we get into one body? Baptized. He's writing to the Corinthians, and in Acts 18:8, and Crispus, the chief ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord with all his house, and many of the Corinthians, hearing, believed, and were baptized. Now, what church did they get in? The Bible is right. So why are we arguing tonight?
The Holy Spirit is speaking, but he's speaking through the teaching of the word. Jesus Christ is God's spokesman, and Christ said the Spirit would guide them into all truth, and what they were guided into, they put it in the book. Hebrews 10:7 then said I, though I come in the volume of the book, it is written of me to do thy will, O God. The will of God for Jesus was in the book. The will of God for you is in the book. The will of God for me is in the book. Now, if you did something that's not in the book, you didn't do the will of God. Now, if the Lord is talking to you directly, he's doing something for you that's not in the book. Because he told us how he has spoken. But part two tomorrow night, I think I can pick up from here. You want to be a Christian tonight? Have you read Acts 26:28? Then Agrippa said unto Paul, almost thou persuaded me to be a Christian. Now, what am I trying to persuade you to be tonight? A Christian. Why? Because Christians are in the church of Christ. You've heard the word, you ought to believe the same. The song leader is ready. You ought to repent of your sin. Luke 13:3-5. He said, I tell you nay, but except you repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Confess Jesus Christ to be the Son of God, and then be baptized in water for the remission of your sin, and he will add you to the church of Christ, and he will give you the gift of the Holy Spirit as a down payment on your heavenly mansion. The Holy Spirit is your guarantee. Romans 8:9, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. So you need to come tonight and receive God's word, and he will give you his Spirit. We're going to stand.